Podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 5, episode 31, episode number 211. How is it going?
Oh, delightful.
Pretty good.
Yeah? How you feeling, Amanda?
Exhausted. So tired. Today was a really just a hard day to be a functioning human.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We'll try to keep this show moving along then and upbeat so we can keep you awake.
I appreciate that. Although, anytime. Yeah. So maybe was this something that ever happened to you where just you were just tired all day and then I randomly like hit a spurt of energy around like 4:30?
I don't remember.
And I was just like, oh, great. Okay. Well, I guess I should get some work done now that I have some energy. Okay.
Your body worked all day long for that energy. It was like reserving it and reserving it. It was like, all right, good to go.
Almost over.
Ding, ding.
I did this 2 hours ago when I was like stumbling through a meeting because I couldn't string a sentence together.
Honestly, I don't remember that. I don't. And I'm so sorry.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
It was a weird day. I will report back if it happens again. Hopefully okay. It won't.
It was a slow hopefully climax to slow climax yeah. to awake.
Yeah. Hopefully it was just one of those weird, yeah. weird Tuesday yeah. things.
Yeah. I feel like this last week has been gone really quickly. And I'm not sure why. Like work has been busy. Like it's been a busy week, but like now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, it does feel like a long time ago since we recorded. But yesterday I had said to Jay, I was like, Lemon, it's Wednesday. And he was like, what? I was like, it just feels like a long week. My kids are back in school. Has a good day.
Happy dance, I'm sure.
Yes. Zachary was like, you guys want some alone time. And I was like, yes, but not in the way that you're thinking mommy and daddy alone time. I want some like alone time, like just me, no one else. I'm very adamant about this. Please.
Oh, man.
Fair
enough.
Yeah. My day of complete alone time today started out great. I went to go get a couple of geocaches on the way after dropping Zach off at school. First one was fine. You know, it was this really lovely wooded area near the airport by if you fly into Raleigh, if you've noticed, there's like a lake that is like right there. It was like this random spot that was by the lake that I'd never been to. And I was like, wow, this is really beautiful. Second one I go to. It's been raining for the last month, not even kidding. Pull off to the side of the road. It's a slight hill. I realize quickly, oh, it's muddy, and then I'm stuck in the mud.
Oh, no.
Hope you weren't wearing a pair of shoes you really like.
No, thankfully I wasn't, because I knew I was going to be walking through the woods. And it was only two that I wanted to do. And I just had this feeling of like, shit, this is not going to be great. So I'm in my sweats and whatever still because I didn't have any meetings today until 1. So I was like, I've got time to go do this. I'll go back. I got a bunch of stuff that I do need to do. But, you know, I'll drop him off at 9. I'll get these real quick. They're near the school. I'll be back home by 10. It'll be like real easy, you know, no harm, no foul. And well, AAA, that was at 9:30. AAA didn't get there until 10:45.
Oh, no.
I'm digging. First, I was trying to dig the car out of the mud because I didn't fucking know, right? I've never been stuck in something before, like, to that extent. Like, so I'm, like, digging through the mud, wiping it all over myself. I was I can wash this when I go home. It's not. I try to back up, and because it's, like, kind of on a slope, it starts to feel not okay. And I don't think the car would have fallen back or fell over or anything like that. But like, it just made me nervous. So I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to call AAA. I call AAA. Okay, fine. I call Jay. He starts laughing at me so hard that he can't even speak. He was
not helping.
He was like, glad you're safe. And I was like, me too. I was like, I've been. So at first, you know, I got stuck. I tried to dig it out. I couldn't. And I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll go find the thing and then I'll come back and deal with this later. Couldn't find the thing after like 10 minutes. So then I was dealing with the car thing. Nobody stopped for me until like 10:30 to be like, are you okay? And I was like, yes, AAA is coming soon. But like it had been an hour since I had been stuck on the side of the road before somebody stopped to be like, are you okay? And I had my flashers on the whole time. And, you know, I just thought that was very telling. Amazon has a distribution center probably, gosh, half a mile away from where I was. I must have counted like 70 Amazon trucks come down the road. Not one stopped, which is fine. Again, they're on there. They have their job. Like, you know, they promise their people they can't stop for that stuff. But I just thought it was so funny, like the amount of traffic this road that I was on and only one person stopped. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. So, yeah, I spent 45 minutes walking around looking for that freaking container and I never found it. So I was really super cranky. And I came home, I got home at like 11:15 and I was muddy and like you know, my fingernails and I was tired and I was hungry because I dropped Zach off at, I usually eat breakfast around 10 and I thought I'd be home by then. So I hadn't eaten breakfast. I'd only had one cup of coffee and I normally have three. So I was just like,
just an out of sorts kind of day.
It was, but that's okay. I had a very productive day at, because then I felt bad that I had missed, you know, a good hour of work, that I had a very productive work day.
Well, that's good. It evens out. It did. All's well that ends well.
It did. But still, it was just one of those, like, are you serious? Like, I'm stuck in the mud.
Oh, man.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. So that was my day. Jay was like, you attract this like really weird energy where just things always happen to you. And I was like, I do, but I'm very glad it's more like a trickster kind of energy and not like, you know, a really terrible kind of energy.
Right. Because yeah. It's like you didn't get hurt. Nothing bad happened to the car. It was just.
Right. Because we were
sprightly sort of thing.
Exactly. But yeah, because we were just talking like how I always lose things or, you know, things go missing or things just happen. And I'm always like, are you serious? Like, you know, electronics just die when they're around me. But again, I'd rather all of that than like, you know, what could be like a worse kind of energy.
Right, right. Everybody's healthy. No bones are broken.
Exactly. You know, no serious illness or anything like that. So knock on wood.
I hear you.
Yeah. But just some of those things where like, I just want to go home and eat some toast with everything bagel seasoning on top.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
It was. I had two slices. Usually I only have one.
Hey, you earned through an ordeal. You earned that extra slice.
It wasn't even that big of an ordeal, but like it wasn't physically strenuous ordeal, but I felt like I deserved it anyway.
It was an hour of your day you're never getting back. Yeah. So yeah, have that other piece of toast.
I did. Yeah. Anyway, how is it going, guys?
Pretty good. Not much to report, except that we did take down our Christmas tree.
Ooh, finally.
Nice.
Finally. So it went up on Thanksgiving Day weekend and came down on Valentine's Day weekend. I do feel like we got our money's worth.
You sure did.
Yeah.
It was kind of sad to see it go, but also there's a lot more room and it's nice. Yeah.
It's a good chair. I imagine the room feels bigger now.
Yes, it sure does. That's about it. It was a really quiet weekend. It's kind of rainy here, so it's always nice to have the 3 day. But the thing about February is once you have President's Day, then you know that you don't have another 3 day until the end of May.
Oh, gosh, I forgot. Really? Why did you have to say that out loud?
I'm sorry. Because leading up to that for like 5 or 6 months, it's like there's at least a day like every month. But now we're in a long stretch until May. But that's okay. Also, my cousin got her first COVID dose.
Oh,
dose
yay!
The COVID vaccine. She works in a school. And so that was super exciting. It's just like every time I hear about somebody getting vaccinated, it just makes me so happy. And like, she's younger than me, you know, like, so there's like different, you know, different people in different situations are starting to get vaccinated. At work, it's looking like my age group which was like 18 to 64, right? Should be up in March. So like, I don't know, but I will be on that to snag an appointment. Yeah. So
hey, March is here in like 10 days.
It really is. Yeah. So we'll see, but that's about it.
Wow. Oh my God. March is here in like 10 days.
And that's an arbitrary number. It might not actually be 10 days.
Close.
Someone should consult a calendar.
12.
12 days.
12 days.
Or 11 and a half, if you will.
Yeah. 11, really. I mean, for us East Coast people.
Nice. All good.
Woo. Hold on 1 second. Let me do some math here. Okay, just kidding. Sorry. I was trying to figure out if episode 222 would fall around your due date, but actually you will have a baby before we get to 222.
Oh.
That's okay. You want that. It's okay. You want that. That's good.
Okay, good. I was like, I don't know how to respond to this.
No, I was just doing the numbers thing. Like, is there 10 weeks? And then I don't think there is. Again, math is hard.
Yeah, I actually don't know how many weeks there are left. And I'm sure if I counted them, it would make me very stressed out.
So please don't. Okay, yeah. We'll cut that out.
Oh, I was in a meeting today. One of my coworkers' wife is pregnant. And like he let us all know very early. Like she is like 3 months pregnant. And I'm like, oh, well, that's brave.
Hey,
but like this is their third kid, so like whatever, like you know, it's a walk in the park at this point. But he was saying how like she's already measuring really big, and that the baby's really big, and they thought they were going to move the due date up, and they decided not to. That it's just a big baby.
Yeah.
And then my boss like made some comment like, "Oh, Amanda, don't get nervous," and I'm like, "Too late." I've been watching the videos. I've been doing the childbirth classes. I'm borderline terrified. It's fine, though. There's drugs.
There's drugs. And even if there's no drugs, it will pass. They're getting the baby out of you one way or another.
Your body is made to do this. Exactly. Your body is made to do this.
It's going to be fine.
It's just I have to convince my mind that, like, we can do this.
You got this.
Yeah.
But you do. You do. Because you got good doctors.
Exactly.
And you got true. A good partner. You're going to be fine.
Yep, I watched one of those like childbirth videos over the weekend, and I sat in a chair and cried about it.
Oh no!
I don't know why I cried about it. I don't know. It's probably part hormonal, but I'm just like, I don't know if these are scared tears, if these are happy tears, if this like
probably a bit of both.
Is it just the circle of life is beautiful. I don't know.
All of the above.
It's just a lot of feeling. A lot of feelings.
Well, just remember, and everybody's going to tell you this, no matter what your birth plan is, be willing to go with the flow because it, you know, may not happen.
Yeah, I'm a little like, do you really have to like write up a birth plan and like come with the paper? Or can you just be like,
you're
the doctors, you tell me.
Well, I don't know what your paper says, but my paper, you know, asked for specific things. And I was like, I would like my husband to catch the baby or cut the umbilical cord. And my doctor laughed at me. She was like, yeah, no, he's not catching the baby. And I was
like, he's not qualified for that.
Catch the baby?
Meaning like, so the doctor will help him pull him out.
Wow. Is that something that happens?
Yeah, and it's totally a thing that people do. But she was just like, yeah, no. You know what?
Veto.
She was the one that ended up coming in. So at my practice, you have to see different doctors each time because they want you to get used to whoever's on call. And this particular doctor was the one. She wasn't my main one. She was a different one. And I was like, well, I don't like this. She just dismissed me, blah, blah, blah. And then she ended up being the one that delivered Zach. We had this great doctor that was there until 9. And then she took over for the last hour. And, you know, he came out blue because it took me 53 minutes to push him. So there were some things going on with, you know, fluid in his mouth at that point.
You know what?
So in the end,
everyone has their own journey.
Exactly. That was X. It's much like the potty training and then the everything else. started at birth.
He does things on his own time.
Exactly.
He savors the journey, that one.
Exactly. And in this case, you know, his mom didn't quite know what she was doing because, you know, whatever.
Because you've never done it before.
Because I never done that before. But anyway, she ended up being the one that delivered him. And, you know, it ended up being like the perfect person for that moment. But when she walked in, I was like, fuck, he's not. Because at first I was like, maybe I could convince this lady to let Jay catch him. And then she walked in, I was like, damn it, this isn't happening.
I'm really picturing like football here.
You know, it's a good analogy, but yeah, good times. I don't mean to scare you, Amanda.
No, it's okay.
It was just one of those weird Colleen energy things. Don't worry.
We've already had that talk. I'm like, do you want to be able to see what's going on? And Daniel's like, no, I'm going to stay north. And it's like, okay.
Oh, I insisted on the mirror with Zach.
Yeah, I don't think I need that.
Well, I didn't know what I was doing. So I thought that if I was able to be guided and see, it would help.
Do you think it helped her?
I think it helped a bit. Jay and my mom were in there and they loved seeing the mirror. They did. They were like, this is wonderful. And I was like, I don't get it.
Because then it's like it's in reverse.
Yeah, kind of. Pretty much.
That's right.
And then with Alex, I didn't have the epidural, so I just didn't care at that point. I was like,
You can feel everything at that point. Yeah. I don't need to see, I can feel it.
And I think that was a part of the problem with Zach is I didn't recognize, I don't even know what the problem, I don't know. I hadn't eaten since lunchtime the night before, and he was born at 9:53 in the morning. Yeah, and everybody told me to eat on the way to the hospital, and I was so excited that I couldn't eat, and I hadn't eaten since 2 o'clock the day before. And that was honestly, that was the problem with Zachary, is I was just completely gassed because I had nothing in my system at that point. Yeah. And so it wasn't so much that I didn't know what to do or when I just joke about it that way. But the thing was, I didn't listen to advice and I didn't eat and I didn't have the energy to do it. So that was a large part of the problem. So if there is one thing other than don't give your hopes, get your hopes up on your birth plan, it would also be when they say to eat before you get admitted, you fucking eat.
Big fan of snacks. Don't have to tell me to skip.
Well, once you get admitted, they're not going to let you eat.
I'm not one that is known for skipping meals.
Okay. Well, once you get admitted, they're not going to let you eat. Especially once you get your epidural or anything like that. They're not going to let you. So that was, they were like, would you like some ice chips? And I was like, does the ice chip come with a cheeseburger? Then no.
It's like, how is that going to help?
With Alex, I was like, will the numbing of my tongue numb my vagina too? Because sure, different experiences.
Oh, yeah. Nope. I am team drugs all the way.
It really does. It really does make a difference for those hours that you're laboring where you can feel it versus where you can't feel it. And both experiences, you know, totally different and totally valid and totally fine. Honestly, if I had to do it again, I would just go with the flow. I would get the drugs and I would cry again if they said you couldn't have the drugs. But also I'd be like, okay, I know what I've been through. We're just going to go down this path. We're going to bushwhack a little. There's going to be thorns, but it's going to be fine.
The human body is made to do this.
Yes. They didn't do drugs. They didn't have drugs in the 1600s. Oh. Right? I'm sure they had some form of drugs throughout all of history, to be honest.
Also, yeah. I mean, mortality wasn't the same. Let's just say that also in the 1600s. So,
yeah, more people died. Well, that people, too. More women died. That
too. Okay.
Let's be specific. There's only one gender is doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there were fathers that died during childbirth too, but. It's probably few and far between and for very different reasons.
I don't think we have to both sides this one.
It's like when men gain the sympathy weight.
Oh. Anyway, heavier thoughts. Does anybody have heavier thoughts?
Ooh, I watched, this weekend we watched One Night in Miami.
Oh,
it was so good.
Really?
It was so good. I can't believe that was Regina King's first movie as a director. It was such a seasoned directorial debut. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was so great. It was really entertaining. It was really beautifully shot. All the actors were like phenomenal. I could not recommend it more.
Nice.
What did you watch it on?
Yeah, what did you watch it on?
It is on Prime, Amazon Prime. It's adapted from a play, which I didn't realize. Because as you're watching it, it feels that the pacing of it does feel like a play.
Yeah.
The majority of the action all happens kind of in one hotel room. And you're like, gosh, this like feels like a play. And then at the end in the credits, it's like adapted from, you know, it lists the playwright. And it's like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Nice.
But yes, it's very good.
That's nice. Awesome. I actually watched a movie this weekend also, which is very strange for me. Franck had to like force me. But it's a Canadian director, Xavier Dolan. And it's Mathias and Maxime. It was really good. I think he bought it on Prime. I think that's how we got it. But very, very good. I mean, that director has made a lot of prize-worthy movies. But it's funny because he's from Quebec. And so his movies are like in French, but in, you know, Quebecois French. And so we had the subtitles. And I looked at Franck at the end of the movie and was like, so, like, if we didn't have the subtitles, like, what percentage would you have understood? Like, 20%. It's like, okay, thank God it wasn't just me.
So, wait, what's the difference?
The dialects? Is that even
Yeah, what's
term?
The difference in dialect?
That they're that different.
Well, and it depends, though, too, because, like, I have friends who are from Canada, and I can understand them perfectly fine, and there'll be some words and expressions here and there that, you know, aren't used in, like, the French is spoken in France, but it's like, you know, it's like the same as speaking with somebody from England. But I think it's like when you move into, like, the village, like the country, like the accent just goes way up, which I would imagine is maybe the same experience of somebody who's not used to American English going to, like, the Deep South in, like, a
small town.
That's
very true.
Or something.
Yep. Certain accents are harder to wrap your brain around if you're not familiar with them. Yeah, for sure.
But it's a good movie. I recommend it.
Okay. Well, I will check that out. Speaking of movies, we all watched Framing Britney Spears over the last week.
Yes.
Do you guys want to get into it?
Yes, but I also really want to hear your ghost story first.
Oh, my ghost story. Okay. Update on my office ghost. Okay, I had forgotten about that. Hold on.
I never forget a ghost story.
Okay, so
done.
Update on my office ghost. I got a text from my coworker, and it was, okay, right hand. I just heard someone cough. No shit. I was in the space close to the copier where the bookcase and awards are. I was checking to see if my docking station works from an outlet other than my office, because for some reason her docking station isn't working, so it's not like picking up on the big screen. Anyway, so it was quiet and clear as a bell. And I was like, no way. And she's like, I am dead serious. So she heard somebody coughing in the office from like the middle of the office, and she was by herself. I was like, are you okay? She's like, I'm just startled. Unless a homeless person has crawled into the crawl space of our house, shrug emoji. And I was like, well, it is cold out, so you never know. Maybe there is somebody like who has gone into the crawl space underneath the house. Like, it's big enough to like sit in there. Like, wow. You can stack things. I can walk through. I don't know if a 6 foot tall person can walk through, but I know I can walk. So, that, I think, you know, somebody being there alive might have creeped her out even more.
Yeah, right. I think that I'd rather take my chances with
right?
the ghost.
Would you rather the, like, totally. The ghost that has been otherwise non-confrontational other than, like, that, or somebody that's living inside of the house?
Basically.
So, yeah. She's like, and I checked, nobody was in the driveway or on the side of the house or anything. So the driveway actually... We have our parking lots in the back of the house because our house, it's like in a house converted to an apartment office building. And you can park. We generally park on the street, but there's a long driveway that goes the side of the house to the parking lot. So when she says she checked like the driveway and that nobody's on the side, she meant like nobody was on the side. And the copier is close to that side of the house. Like it's not it's not up against the wall. There's a storage closet. Like, so it's like the copier and then the wall the copier is against. There's a storage closet in there with like all of our like extra supplies. And then it's like the driveway like going to the side.
Okay. And then the creepy abandoned house?
The creepy abandoned house on the other side.
Okay. Okay.
So if she was standing by the copier, but like the bookshelf's in the direct center. So if she was like kind of standing in that area, she could have heard something from either side.
Okay. Okay. Well, hopefully it's a ghost with allergies. And
I know, right?
Not a homeless person.
I know. I'm hoping it's a ghost because I have to go in tomorrow and I think I might be by myself. And so Henry's mom apparently has some allergies. Okay. Now, framing Britney.
Now we can talk about Britney Spears.
Who wants to start? It was really interesting.
It was fascinating. It really, I found it very illuminating. Daniel watched it with me, and, you know, I kept sort of saying, you know, it's like I was working in pop culture at the time, and just the idea of just, you know, how one little your frame of reference can just be changed by one little thing. Like I was very caught by, I can't think of which of the talking heads it was, but just like the idea of like, well, what if Britney shaving her head wasn't a mental breakdown, but a big middle finger? And
yeah.
Or even like liberation too.
Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah. That completely reframes the way that we think about that incident. Mm-hmm. Because we were definitely fed the she went crazy story.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to see in real time how complicit I was in that narrative and how I played into the narrative as well. And to like see it in hindsight, you know, granted, you know, we're all, you know, a decade older and hopefully a decade wiser to kind of look at it with those eyes. But just to like, yeah. I bought into it. You know, I had a subscription to In Touch Weekly. Like I loved me my trashy magazines. Right. And
I think
it,
you know, it's interesting you say the framing thing in perspective, because three things real quick. First, even if it wasn't a liberation thing and she was having a mental breakdown, nobody helped her. Like, no, everybody just made money off of her pain. Right. And that's just as fucked up. Second, like, we were fed this narrative of, we were fed this narrative of that we all bought into. And, like, how is that any different than the narrative that people like the QAnon people or the Fox News people are being sold today, where they're actually getting like reality that as it's meant to like for ratings, right? It's not even or power. Yeah. Like it's not even like an actual reality. It's just the way that things are sold. And it kind of makes you want to stop and like think like, you know, not everything that you see or read or hear or watch is going to be real. It's going to be what the best way to sell it to you is. Like I remember when Heath Ledger died and I went down there because I was writing for that blog at the time. And there were a bunch of things I noticed that the main news outlets were reporting about the scene. And it was like not, and nobody was allowed in there. So like we were all just on the street, like spectators. And it was not like what my eyes and ears had experienced. And, you know, because I just remember it being like, but wait a second, that didn't happen. I was there. Like, I wasn't there with, like, the people that had, like, you know, Mary-Kate Olsen, like, on speed dial. But, like, just, you know, the basics of, like, describing this outside scene, like, it just was very different. And that, you know, that was that same kind of time period.
And in the absence of fact, you know. Exactly. A lot of it is just conjecture of filling in what story makes sense based off of what we know and how can we elevate it to make it a little more exciting.
Exactly. And that leads me to
which seems harmless enough on its face, but has these major ramifications.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it is a person's life.
Exactly. Exactly. And like we don't – and that was like kind of my third thing was that there was this like – I think it was the start of like web blogs that people had this like easy access for free, renewed – like Perez, Pink is the New Blog, Crazy Days and Nights. Mm-hmm. Like people have this renewed interest that they didn't need to subscribe to tabloid magazines in order to like get all this gossip. And those people were paying money for photographs. And like there was just giant paparazzi craze where, you know, we as consumers, as spectators, you know, wanted more and more of those stories because they every single day versus like a weekly publication because it was, you know, our entertainment. And with some, you know, hopefully with now a decade or two worth of perspective and seeing how it actually was irreparably harming people's lives, mm-hmm. that it's not okay. It's not great.
Yeah. No, it's mm-hmm. definitely not okay. I think the paparazzi apparatus is so fucked up. But to your point, Amanda, like, I think they did a really good job of showing, just like you were saying, when there's, in the absence of fact, we have speculation and conjecture. And when that's happening within a framework that is completely sexist, then you see the result. And I just thought that was really well done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. You know, it's so weird because like I had the most peripheral awareness of any of this stuff going on. Cause like when I was in like middle school and high school, like I had attitude about pop music for whatever reason. And it really wasn't until in college, I remember hearing Toxic and being like, oh, like I was ready to like that song at that. But like I had, you know,
Great pop song.
It's a great pop song.
You cannot like pop music. That's totally fine. We all go through those phases. But Toxic is a legitimately great pop song.
It's a great song.
So I was ready for it. I was done with my like whatever attitude about pop music. But like even then, like I wasn't living in the U.S. It was just like, I don't know. I wasn't really aware. I vaguely remember the shaving the head thing. And again, like it was just fed to us as like, oh, she went crazy. And it was like, oh, okay. But like the situation that she's in now, which I think just changed also, I think you guys were saying in the chat, maybe.
Yes. I think if the court hadn't overturned it, it's going back into litigation, I believe.
Okay. But like, I had no idea that, I mean, like it sounds vaguely, vaguely, vaguely familiar, but I had really no idea. And the fact that they could do that to like a barely middle-aged woman is just kind of,
well, and also, so even if she had mental illness, even if they were concerned about people taking advantage of her to get her money or whatever, it still shouldn't be a money-making operation. Like, people shouldn't be running a business off of her conservatorship, which is there mm-hmm. for her mental health. That's
right.
That's bad.
Right. And it's quite literally what's happening. The fact that she had to stop working, that was the only card she had left to play, was to just sit down and refuse to work, to do the thing that brings her joy, because that's the only way to make the machine stop.
Yeah.
Like that is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to wonder, because I don't know, it would be interesting to know what she really thinks about how it began, because they did make the case that like maybe in the beginning it was with the best of intentions. But I do wonder, like, how many other super rich people, like stars or what have you out there, are there that A, like, might have some sort of mental illness issues going on, or B, might have people trying to prey on their money? And how many of those people have a conservatorship?
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, how many people just, wherever there's money, there's people that prey on it. I mean, you just, right. You have enablers throughout history. And, you know,
I just don't ever like, and maybe I'm just like not connected with what's going on, but I've never really heard of that.
See,
with anyone else?
Have always.
Well, and it sounds like it really was something that really was not used for that in that situation. Traditionally, it was used for older people where you're just afraid that, like, you know, telemarketer is going to call grandma and convince her to give away all her money.
Right. Or she's not somehow incapacitated.
Yeah. Yes. No, Colleen, you were saying before I jumped all over.
No. That was a great point. I was just going to, like, I remembered a lot of what they reported on. I remember the umbrella thing. I remember the shaving the head thing. I remember, I pay attention to that kind of stuff. I paid attention to a lot more back then while it was happening. But, like, I remembered so much of it, and it just really gave me a different perspective. And, you know, it is, I hope that this kind of begins to bring a little bit of a change to the, I feel like the frenzy has died down, or maybe I'm just at a point where I don't check that kind of stuff to know the frenzy. But, like, I do hope that it becomes more of a, celebrities can be in control of the publicity and the stuff that they want to release. And then we get a couple of, like, you know, juicy scandals here and there, but nothing that's, like, life ruining in this case. Because, like, you saw Britney saying she was scared of them. Mm-hmm. And they were horrible to her.
Like, many times. That word was used many times, yeah.
They were horrible to her. The narrative, you might think that you can create, like, do your own narrative, but, like, at some point, if you're always out there, it's going, and you're creating a demand for yourself, it's always going to get away from you. And that's where we, I think, really need to evaluate as a society, like, what is, you know, like, keep in mind that there's human beings behind the lens.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's, because that's something I thought a lot about, too, this idea of, has that frenzy died down, or am I just older and not as plugged into it? And it's, I think it's a little bit of both, but yeah. I think it's also, we're talking about an era at the very early days of social media. Social
yes.
media was not nearly as ubiquitous as it is now.
Yes.
So I think that has completely changed the model, because now arguably everybody
right.
is a paparazzi, because everybody has a phone. So the flash bulbs have just gotten less invasive, but then also more invasive, because now anyone can just pick up their phone in a restaurant and take a video mm-hmm. of you and live stream it right to the internet. So it's just a different model.
Right.
But I think on the other side of that, the celebrity themselves does have more control, because they have a social media channel themselves.
Exactly. Like,
so they can control the message direct to their audience in a way that they couldn't 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I do maintain, like, social media and the on-demand of blogs like Perez. And Perez was all about the cruelty. He was like the fucking
piece of shit.
He is the blogger version of Donald Trump. Like, with Perez, the cruelty was the point. If he wasn't outing somebody, he wasn't mm-hmm. happy. Right. If yeah. he wasn't
oh,
calling
he's a
somebody,
piece of shit.
He's a
I
big
forgot
piece of shit.
How angry he made me.
I know he makes me so mad.
Like,
I just remember how many people,
shitty human being.
Like, how many people he tried to out from the closet. How many mean nicknames he had. And, like, at first when you didn't, like, really get it, like, at least for me, like, they were funny and ha 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 ha. Mm-hmm. But, like, after a while, like, there's only so many white penises he can draw on somebody's face until you're like, okay, now this is getting kind of mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, just how much he objectified women.
That too. And, like, he was friends with Lady Gaga and Katy Perry coming up. And then at some point he turned on them and, like, made it his mission to, like, destroy them early on. And, like, I just, mm-hmm. he's just such a piece of shit. And, like, I think that mentality led to, like, Barstool Sports being so popular and, you know, so much, because he was one of the early ones. He was one of the trendsetters, mm-hmm. and it was like the cruelty was the point with mm-hmm. people like him, and and they were people were going to the site, people were willing to pay money, and that's kind of what made the Britney trend, like the paparazzi, like blow up. And it wasn't just Britney back then that was affected. Like Lindsay Lohan,
Paris Hilton.
You had to be Team Lindsay, Team Hillary, Team Ashley Simpson. It was either like Jessica Simpson, you know, like, so Britney and ex-Tina were dumb sluts, and Jessica Simpson was just stupid because of the bumblebee tuna, which chicken of the sea thing, like, okay, that was really funny, but, like, you know, mm-hmm. they just took it, like, you can laugh at, like, somebody's silliness or whatever, but like, you know, is a point between like laughing and being cruel, right? Mm-hmm. And like mm-hmm. that kind of stuff got cruel, and like it, I think it takes somebody with a very giant support system and some kind of crazy great therapist to like not. No, I'm sorry, Siri.
Siri's like, therapist? What?
Right? But you had to.
What can I get for you?
I know. She just did. and I think that's what goes to what Shandy was saying earlier, where she was anti-pop music. And I also like, because I was, I think there was a very big feeling for those of us in our era that like, girlfriends were great, but you could only have like one or two. You had to be one of the guys to be cool. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't like pop music to be cool. Like, you know, don't like Britney. Don't like Christina. Don't, or maybe like Christina because she's edgier, but like don't like Taylor Swift and don't like this. And like, and even if you did like them, you're always preconditioned to believe like every bad rumor that comes out about them, right? Like, oh my God, I love Genie in a Bottle, but like, oh, Christina gave head to Carson Daly. Like, okay, I believe that. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like it was just this very, like, very misogynistic thing yes. back then.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that like some internalized misogyny was part of why I had an attitude about pop music, because it was like there's this idea that it's like not good music. That, which is, you know, it's often like feminized. Mm-hmm. You think about like these artists, although there were the boy bands too, but like.
Right. You could love NSYNC.
You think that they're not like real, you know, real musicians. When like you see in the documentary, that video of Britney Spears singing as such a little girl, and you're like, mm-hmm. holy fucking shit. Like, like she's an amazing musician. Yep. And shame on me for ever thinking, you know, anything less than that, like, and all, you know, all of these people, like, yeah, it's just, it's too bad, but luckily I've grown out of that attitude.
Right. And I think,
go ahead. I was just going to say to like, go back and to see all that archival footage and all those interviews with Britney at that time. And you're just, it really reframed it for me that like she was so much more in control and she was so much more of a badass than I think the story around her led you to believe.
Totally. That
in hindsight, this was a woman that was really, that knew what was up and was really trying to rail against a system that was designed for her to fail.
Right.
Yeah.
It wanted her to fail.
It wanted yep. her to fail, and it was doing everything it could to control her.
Yeah, yep. It did. And you think about, like, her music. So let's talk about the Justin Timberlake thing, because how could we not?
Like, yeah, I suppose we should.
It points out, we can go real quick, it points out just how, like, whatever went down between them, he got the first word out, and the rumors were that she cheated on him with Wade Robson, who was also a piece of shit, as we've seen, but... choreographer extraordinaire, but like
troubled soul
Wade Robson. Asshole. But like, he got the verse where it shots off, and her only response was a song that, if you go back, and I actually went back and listened to a lot of Britney this past week and was really like, man, I loved so much more of her songs than I ever admitted to myself until I got to college and heard Toxic and everybody else liked Toxic. And I was like, oh my God, but what about this song? And what about that song? Mm-hmm. But like, her response song is a song called Every Time. And like, if you listen to it, I remember thinking it was very beautiful back in the day. But like, yeah. I don't know if you remember the lyrics or the music video even, but like,
I remember like she's like running down a hall at the end. And isn't it like there's something about like a mental institution
or something like that?
But like, something. Is that?
I don't know. I remember her being in a bathtub with a red band around her wrist that everybody thought was maybe a nod to Kabbalah.
Oh, right. Kabbalah, right. That was also a big thing. Everybody was into Kabbalah at that point, too.
That was a whole thing. That was a whole
weird time, kids.
I know. 2003, man.
Us millennials are going down a tear on memory lane.
Quick, everybody part their hair to the side. Quick. We can't finish talking about this. No, we have side parts. Okay, there we go.
Mine is always side parted. Take that, Lindsay.
Yours is. Mine has always been middle parted. Because I had bangs.
Because I had bangs. Which I'm sure is probably also not cool, but whatever, I don't care. Stop picking on me.
Definitely not cool. But, yeah. Yes, but like, so she's like slipping into the bathtub, and like, it's this whole like distraught thing, and like, kind of makes me wonder, like, or appreciate, I don't know Young Music nowadays, but I feel like it's a lot more like female sex positive than it used to be. Whereas, yes, it used to be with a lot of Britney, Christina songs or whatever. But like, for every one of those, they still had their like, I need you, baby. I can't live without you. Please, you know, don't, whatever. And it was like in this way that wasn't like some fun Mariah way. It was like in this like really like.
But it was sexualized with a male's gaze in mind.
Exact. Or with a young, impressionable young woman. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you always heard that like, well, young women are relationships are drama and this and that. And like, I kind of wonder sometimes like how much of like our dating experiences were influenced by things like these kinds of songs where they were just very like, oh, you're supposed to feel this kind of anguish. You're supposed to feel that.
I wonder.
I do, though, because like I had many AOL screens, screensavers or whatever, away message.
The away message.
Right? And I feel like those kind of compounded.
Well-curated away message.
I know. I loved a good away message. Loved a good profile. I did. I spent lots of quality time on those. But what I was getting to is like Justin's song that came out that he launched his career upon, you know, just ruining the careers of women. And her response song was Every Time. And it's like, every time I try to fly, I fall without your wings. I feel so small. I guess I need you, baby. And I'm like, wow, really like these lyrics at 21. Really think they're problematic at 37. Right? And it's basically like he got to call her a slut and her response was like, I can't live without you. I'm so sorry. I'm going to drown myself in the bathtub.
Yep. Yeah.
Which I also wonder because like she had songs that she didn't write a lot of her songs, but she did co-write some of them. And that one, she does not have a co-writing credit on. I checked.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. I don't know. And I mean, honestly, like I remember that they were dating. But that's about it. Like, I didn't know about, like, the breakup, the scandal, the whatever. My thoughts on it are, I have no fucking clue if she cheated on him. But honestly, who the fuck cares?
Yeah. Right.
Like, for one thing, that doesn't make her a bad human being. Mm-hmm. For another thing, it's between the two of them. And, like, for a third thing, like, we have no right to even know. And again, who fucking cares? Like, the way that a couple's relationship ends is not our fucking business.
Right. And even if we do find out, like, I don't know, maybe not launch your solo career, make millions of dollars while then also subsequently causing the downfall of your ex-partner.
Right. Well, just the double standard of it. Like watching that Diane Sawyer clip.
Oh, God, it's just painful.
Like chin on the floor. Like this is supposedly a well-respected journalist, and the types of questions that she was asking this young woman, I'm sure Justin Timberlake wasn't getting those questions.
No, Justin Timberlake was getting those questions, like
tears.
Yeah,
like it was.
He was just Justin Timberlake on
television.
Timberlake was getting the questions, like, "Yo, man, did you pop your cherry?"
Right, exactly. Right.
Which that too for me is like, it is fucking wild to ask somebody if they're a virgin.
Yes!
Like, in what world is that okay?
Or about breast implants.
In what world would you ask any person, famous or not, that you don't know that you're not friends with, hey, did you guys have sex? Or, like, a couple that's not known for being virgins or whatever, you would never say, oh, so you would never talk about their sex? Like, you just never would. Like, it's just so not okay. And I can't believe even, and then to talk about her boobs and then to like all of all of that.
So, and even like, all under the guise of like, well, you know, your audience is a lot of young, impressionable girls. And what kind of message are you sending for them? And what kind of role model are you?
Right.
It's like the hypocrisy and the double standard. Like,
right.
You know, I would like to hope that at the time we were somewhat aware of it, but it's just to look back on it now is just so glaringly not okay.
Yeah.
And then there's one thing if you're going to go on a show like Howard Stern where you know what you're in for, but like Diane Sawyer.
That was prime time, major cable destination watching. And like, what the hell?
And even after she asked that and they watched her break down, nobody was like, hey, maybe we should get this woman help.
Right. Well, and also there was just no backlash. The fact that no one was like, that was a really offensive question. Right. And that we shouldn't be asking
this
20-something year old woman if she's a virgin on national television.
Amanda,
like, that's maybe not okay.
Can I just remind you that cancel culture wasn't running rampant?
Wasn't Right. And we were all saved by cancel culture.
Won't somebody let Gina Carano be Gina Carano? just saying.
I don't know if I know who that is.
It was the woman from Star Wars, from The Mandalorian, who she had a year
right.
of warnings to stop with the transphobic, anti-Semitic tweets. A fucking year they gave her of chances. So when any conservative comes at you and is like, cancel culture, they hate conservatives, it'll be like, her first transphobic thing was last October and they didn't fire her until this February. So I don't know, maybe miss me with that shit.
Yeah. Wow.
The First Amendment, right?
Yeah.
It's funny how we love to take those amendments and twist them to our advantage, huh?
But apparently you can yell fire in a crowded theater now, so that's cool.
Oh, great. You know, I was really feeling imposed upon not being able to do that before now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, just my rights felt very infringed, so I feel much freer now. I'm glad I have that information.
Exactly. 6 months from now, if you want to take your child to a movie theater, but you want to, you know, make sure that you guys have the theater to yourself, just yell fire beforehand. Let everybody clear out, and you know, you'll be fine.
The First Amendment will protect me.
Exactly. You know, and you'll get an
empty
theater.
That's what it's there
for. For you.
It's there for me. And nobody else. It's in my bubble. What is good for me?
Yeah. And
my money.
What's the worst case?
I worked for.
You're going to get.
No one gave me anything.
You're going to get like a little bit of hate on Twitter and like one warning. And then maybe Ben Shapiro will give you a movie contract.
You know what? I don't care. I'm not even on Twitter. So.
Okay, back on track. Let's land this plane.
Let's land it.
Whew. Shit, what was the last thing we were talking about? Let Gina Carano be Gina Carano.
Inappropriate interview questions.
Yes. Yeah. I just thought the whole thing. Free Britney. When do we meet, guys? When do we riot?
When do we take to the streets?
Yeah. When
well,
are we doing this?
We can do that too.
Yeah. When are we putting our Antifa hats on with Free Britney on the top? When are we doing this? Let's do it.
Yeah. No, but seriously, time well spent watching that.
It was. It was really great.
And really I hope was. That she's well.
Me too.
And free.
I have so much more appreciation for Britney. It was very eye-opening, and I really hope that we get to hear her side of the story one day. And that she gets to go back to Vegas, because I feel like that was probably the most amazing show.
I know.
I would have loved to have seen it.
She had like 10 years of practice, so.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, Britney Spears is a performer. Like, she is meant for a live extravaganza like that, so.
What's your favorite Britney songs?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll start. Toxic.
Okay. Yes. Obviously.
Yes.
Obviously, Baby One More Time. Duh.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
I can't stop singing Circus. I've been singing it all around the house, and I don't know why. So I guess
it's a great song.
It's a great song.
It's an underappreciated album.
Love Circus. A womanizer.
Yeah, I forgot about womanizer.
I had forgotten about it too, but I've also been singing that.
I always really liked Crazy.
Oh, you drive me crazy. Yeah. I just can't sleep. Yeah. See, I love the version of that with the remix one from the movie.
Which movie?
From the You Drive Me Crazy movie with Melissa Joan Hart. That was like the sound. It was like on the soundtrack to it. And they had this radio edit that it was, my opinion, much better than the album edit. Mm. So I'm a Slave for You, which I know has terrible lyrics, but like that beat is super hot.
It is.
I can't help it. I really like that song and I don't want to, but I really like it. I can't help it. I also really love If You Seek Amy.
I had completely forgotten about that song, but it is a very good one.
It's a really good song.
She did with Madonna too.
Oh, Me Against the Music. That's a great song.
I had forgotten about that one as well. And that's a great video.
Oh, it's a great video.
So good.
Yeah. When I say I went on a Britney kick this weekend, I went on a Britney kick. It was really sad. I was going to go to bed at 11 o'clock the other night, and then I ended up listening to a Britney mix while surfing the internet and went to bed at 12:15. And I was like, fuck, I was going to go to sleep. remember the song Lucky?
Yeah, I loved that video.
That was a great video. I still remember part of the Oops, I Did It Again dance.
Yep, me too.
Oh, man. What's the song that's It's Britney, Bitch? Is that Give Me More? Give Me More?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite possibly just one of the best moments in pop music.
Oh,
it's like, It's Britney, Bitch.
It's Britney, Bitch. She had some really great music. Overprotected, Stronger, Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman.
Yeah, that was one I like really liked in spite of myself at the time. Because, you know, it's like Crossroads and it was like not cool to like Britney at that point. But it's kind of a great idea.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably, and it was very smart for her. Like, it was very astute when you look back at it, because there is that time in your life where, yeah, you're not a kid, but like, you don't really feel like an adult. And that song is much deeper than I think we were allowed to admit to.
Yeah. Also the song Boys.
I don't know if I remember that one.
Boys, sometimes a girl just needs one. Boys, da 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 da.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes I run, sometimes I hide. Sometimes
that was like early.
That was
all
early.
All I really want is to hold you tight.
Treat you right, be with you day. Baby, all I need is time. Okay, we're going to stop now. Okay, we're going to stop because I could keep going. We're just going to stop. Was I Love Rock and Roll also part of the soundtrack from Crossroads?
I believe it was.
I was. Because as soon as you said Crossroads, that popped into my mind. And I was like, that's right. I vaguely remember her singing that song too. Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, that was a great cast too.
I know.
Zoe Saldana.
Taryn Manning. Manning.
Yep, Pensatucky from Orange is the New Black. Yep. So it's like these really legitimate actresses that went on. They all went on to do great things.
Yeah,
and good point. This, you know, kind of teeny bopper, not so bad movie.
Yeah. So I guess to sum this up, we say go watch Framing Britney Spears.
Yes.
Watch the media that you consume and go listen to Britney's early music.
Yes. And free Britney, for the love of God.
Hashtag
and
free
the paparazzi.
Yeah, fuck the paparazzi. All right, let's take a quick break and then we will see what the rest of the show brings us.
I can't wait.
All right, we are back and we're getting into some facey back. The first bit of feedback is from Mandy, and she said that I watched the Britney documentary today. Oh my, I had no idea all that was going on for so long. And then Gott said, now I have to watch the documentary. Groan. I hope that you learned a lot from it. No groaning. My sister and I watched it with my parents this weekend. And Jay watched it too. And, you know, they also took away a lot from it. I don't know. I think Gott really liked it. I'm just going to predict that now. He found it very fascinating and educational. And Gott, you can come on the show next week when we do it live for the patrons and share your opinion on the chat.
Sure.
John said, just finished last week's episode. If it helps, I remember the Olsen Twins song from a couple of years ago in a regular episode. Thank you.
Vindicated.
Thank you, John, yeah, the UPS guy. Thank you. Aaron says, in response to the sexy time talk from last week, I would have died if you had just called it fuck time instead of sexy time. Noted. I appreciate that all couples have their own names for things, and what works for you works for you. Winky face just made us wonder what other people call it for some reason. And when I typed in synonyms for sex, the article for vaginas came up, and it felt like it'd be a fun discussion. Thanks so much for the lesson. I agree. Pussy should not be on that list.
Thank you. Also vindicated.
Well, now it kind of makes me want to Google other names. Okay, when you type in other names in my browser, other names for grandma comes up first, and that's weird. With the last...
Okay, now I have to do this.
Okay, just type in other names for and see what comes up first. Because it's got the first eight for me, and search number eight
other names for grandma.
No way!
The first one I get, too.
Do you and also get...
Pause,
and then weed?
And brisket.
Oh, and I got weed.
Hold on. I gotta try this now.
Then okay. Gabe Penton. Then weed.
Okay. I have flank steak as my last one, which is really weird.
I have God as my last one.
Okay, I have God.
I have grandpa as my last one. Flank steak is third from the bottom.
Weird. See, God is third from the bottom. Other names for Jesus is second from the bottom, then flank steak. And then DMDM yep. Hyadonin, Donatin? Yep. What is that?
I think we all have the same, but they're all in slightly
in different orders.
I don't have that. The meat one that you have, I don't have. I have brisket.
Oh. Ooh.
Do you maybe guys have the weed?
I have weed.
I have the weed. Weed is three okay. for me.
Okay. Oh, where? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's five for me.
Okay. Yeah,
I have grandma, Santa Claus, weed, DM, hide a tone.
Which I'm
God,
looking
Jesus,
for.
For blank sake, secret Santa, grandpa.
Oh my God, do you know what DMDM hyatin is? It's a preservative that it works as a preservative because it is released, the released formaldehyde makes the environment less favorable to microorganisms. So it has something to do with preservatives things.
Oh
I don't
God.
Know. Ooh, it's formaldehyde.
Oh no.
Why is formaldehyde showing up in all of
our things? Yeah, that's actually really worrying.
That is troubling to say the least.
What was the thing that you were just saying, Amanda, when I interrupted you? Because there was something else you had that I didn't have.
Grandpa?
Grandpa.
I don't have grandpa.
Grandpa's my last one.
So when I type it, so I did the other name for DMDM, blah, blah, blah. And then I deleted that and left it blank. And now that makes that first for me. But also grandpa shows up, then MSG, and then the last one is Lucifer. So now I have other names for Santa Claus, God, Jesus, and Lucifer all showing up in my browser.
Oh, nice. That's amazing. So wait, did anyone else have Secret Santa?
No.
That's my second to last one is Secret Santa.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever looked for synonyms for Secret Santa?
Why would I?
I don't know, but now that we're all talking about it on Google itself through a microphone, I wonder what.
Yeah. Totally.
Weird.
Well, that's fun.
That was great. That was a great little tangent.
Great experiment.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time for Matt's What She Said, because I don't know where we were before this, but oh, I was looking for other names for sexy time.
Right.
Other names for sex, which is very surprisingly not even autofilling when I type in sex on here.
Interesting.
I don't know. All right. Well, adorable slang terms for sex for the last 600 years. Here we go. We're not doing them all. Give someone a green gown.
What?
I don't know. Play nug-a-nug. Nug-a-nug, nug-a-nug. Night physic. I mean, these are from like the 1600s. Couch quill.
Ooh.
Couch quail. Let's see if there's anything on here worth reading. Get one's ashes hauled.
Oh, God. That actually sounds kind of morbid.
Uh-huh. It does. Speaking of DMDM, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Have your corn ground.
Okay. I like that one.
Dance the kipples.
Dance the pickle?
Kipples.
Oh, the
kipple. What's a kipple? All right, we're going to find that out right now. Oh, gosh. Urban Dictionary. I don't know. I don't know. It's from Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep by Philip K. Dick. It refers to sinister type of rubbish which builds up without any human intervention. So, I don't know. All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on. This was a really, really, really weird article, but it ended also arrive at the end of a sentimental journey. Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. Shit. Okay. This might be, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Larry Compoop. I'm going to put this in the chat. Larry Compoop. LerriComPoop.
Is that one word?
Yes. Larry Compoop.
Larry Compoop.
Larry Compoop.
Like an nincompoop? Like a nincompoop, yeah.
So what's a Larry then?
It's the precursor to nincompoop.
But it stands for sex.
It's the antithesis of. Yeah, like if a nincompoop is, you know, kind of a dum-dum, then a Larry Compoop is the sexy one, I guess.
All I know is when I Google Larry Compoop, it does show up in multiple Google searches for meaning sexual intercourse.
That's wild. Well,
ride a dragon apart in St. George. There's a hashtag on Twitter of Larry Compoop. Okay, forget it. We're here. We're at this. We're doing this journey. We're riding this St. George dragon. Aaron, this is for you, by the way. Just for you. Okay. All right, look. When you go to this hashtag on Twitter, there is one tweet, and it is a apple and an eggplant emoji. The hashtag Larry Compoop.
That is some humor that is so far over my head.
An emoji. The apple means butt, and the...
No, is the apple butt? I thought the peach was butt.
Oh, the peach is butt? So then maybe the apple is vagina. Well, that makes sense since the...
Why would the apple be vagina?
I don't know, but an apple is definitely not an apple.
I guess nothing is nothing.
Okay, well now
nothing
I guess...
Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing.
What is the apple emoji... Sexual.
Oh man, now Gen Z is gonna come at us for this. That they we don't are. Know what the emojis mean.
It's okay. Nobody from Gen Z is listening to this show. What is the
true?
Meaning?
Our audience skews boomer male.
Oh, the irony.
Okay, first of all, it doesn't.
I love you, boomer male audience.
I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. I don't know. It doesn't say. Dirty emojis, but it doesn't say. Breasts? Is it breasts? No, cherries are breasts. Cherries. Wait, hold on. Cherries are a euphemism for breasts and balls. Ooh, double meaning.
I was gonna say it was or balls.
18 dirty sex emojis just heat up your sex life. Okay, here we go. Okay. This was published on July 29th, my dating anniversary. I felt like this has been for me. Eggplant is a penis. Peace sign is a vagina. Peach is a butt.
That makes sense.
The okay hand is anal sex. Pointed finger is fingering. Taco is vagina. Hot dog is a penis. See, a hot dog is a penis. That's something that us millennials can appreciate. Sweat droplets is an orgasm. Maybe I knew that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought that was the water, actually. The water.
Oh, it is the water, but I guess it's also supposed to be sweat droplets.
Okay.
According to Emojipedia, it's a sweat droplet. Common sexting emoji phrases. The okay hand and the pointed finger. We've all seen that beautiful scene from, what's it called, from Superstore. banana and a donut is cheeky anal sex. Tongue and a taco and sweat droplets obviously mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's clear. We don't need to spell
We don't
it
need
out.
To. Lips and an eggplant and a firework also Also, we don't need to specify that. Hand waving and a smiley face with horns means spanking. Which now that a naughty spanking. Okay. Now that I look at the peach emoji up close, it really does look like a beautiful butt. Mm-hmm. Super does.
Yep.
Never noticed that before. A striptease. Here's the emoji for striptease. The admit one ticket with the lady dancing in the red dress with the eyes.
Okay, that makes sense.
It makes sense. Never would have gotten there, but it makes sense. Guys, can you imagine if we were doing like a game of emoji charades, we would all be losing right now. Except for the two fellatio ones. We would have gotten
there. I think that's great podcasting.
A tongue, a peach, and a shocked face emoji with a floating head is, I'm going to lick your butt and your mind will explode.
Oh, specific.
A snake and a tulip is, I want to slither inside of your innocent bloom.
Oh.
This next one is actually kind of awesome, and I really like it. A baguette with a honeypot is, I want to put my penis into your sweet vagina.
Oh, I was wondering, if you look at the baguette, I'm like, that has to be one. It's very phallic looking. Also, I have not looked at emojis in a while. Did you know there's a tamale emoji?
There is? That must be new. I feel like they just
did. I think it's a tamale. I mean, what else is it?
I don't know. Can you tamale me?
Yes. I will tamale you right now. Oh, I'll tamale you.
Ooh, please do. Everybody's here, tamale. Yeah. I think of the Mariah Carey song, Feeling So Hot Tamale. Anyway, that was the last one. The heart with a bone means I'd love to bone. Which I feel like is a little bit classier than the penis one in any form. The eggplant one in any form.
Yeah. Certainly more clever.
Definitely more clever. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. That definitely led us down a rabbit hole that I'm sure we are going to explore for many an episodes to come. Hashtag Larry Compoop. super not sexy. All right, let's do some That's What She Said, and then we've got an update from Andy, and then we're gonna go home. No, then we're
gonna go to sleep. Then we're gonna leave.
Then we're done. Okay.
All right. I haven't gotten one.
It doesn't matter what length it is.
Oh, I see it in the shower.
It is really bad when it falls out.
Yeah, that's true. It mainly is the pain in the ass of cleaning it up. Oh, that's a thing one of us said.
Sure is. I feel like everybody said that at one point. Yeah. I'm like, man, it's going to be a pain in the ass to clean up.
Yeah.
Now I got to do the laundry. There's hair everywhere.
We should have this arrangement more often.
We'll do this in 45 minutes.
I'm going to let everybody in at one time.
I don't know. It took me 10 minutes.
I was expecting a bigger twist.
It's not falling out of my face.
Well, that's good.
That's great. I wonder what emoji that would be. Probably the eggplant and the lips without the fireworks.
Just like the
and the whoosh,
right? But it
has the straight across mouth.
Oh yeah, okay. So it'd be the eggplant. No, the straight across mouth, and then the eggplant second, or no, the eggplant and then the straight across mouth. That's right. Yeah.
We will have to then take it out.
I've been teased with the spiral. Why are words so hard today? I've been teased with the spiral.
I know you're ready for this.
Oh, that was a journey.
A journey.
It was.
Map emoji. Airplane. All right, let's land this airplane. All right. We've got an update from Andy. Oh, okay, here we go.
All right. This post-Valentine's Day in Andy's virginity. Andy writes in, "Hey, broads. Another quiet Valentine's Day for me. While most of the candy sections were picked clean when I went to get a few things Sunday, they already have the Easter stuff out, so I got some Reese's eggs."
Same girl, same.
So, yeah.
I did the same thing today.
Yes. "Unfortunately, no big good news to share with you this week. You already know my dating stories, and if I were to have an airport romance story, it would probably be a little less Logan and a lot more Denver International Airport. Google it if you haven't heard about the weird stuff there." Oh, I haven't heard about the weird stuff there.
I'm on it. Don't worry. Keep going.
"This shouldn't be a surprise, but I've never referred to it as an axe wound." Thank you, Andy. "I've heard people on TV shows call it a gash, but those were obviously bad people and not meant to be imitated. Anyway, I'm not referring to the vagina by any of those terms. The term pussy doesn't seem bad to me, but it is not okay when you use it to call women pussy like that's the only thing of value you get from them. Odds are when I wind up with a woman, I'll probably stick with the conventional terms and whatever she's comfortable with. There's no way I'm going to ask for sexy time for the first time, because like you said, that's more something silly you'd say in a long-term relationship. I wish I had the source, but I heard on the radio the other day that a year of lockdown relationship is equal to 4 years of regular relationship." That's interesting.
That is interesting.
It is, actually.
Sounds about right. We've all joked about how long this whole process has felt. Amanda is in her final trimester, but she may feel like she has more experience being pregnant than Colleen, all things considered. Everything's still pretty intense. But I'm still siding with the belief that things will be better several months down the road, and that maybe there will be some kind of good update for you to hear, and it won't take another 4 years for us to get there. Or just one very Hashtag I'm 6 feet from her is Andy. No, I mean, even Frank and I, like, we've been together for fucking almost 20 years, and we're talking about how, like, we have never spent this much time with each other. Like, we've spent a lot of time with each other, but, like, to be in the same apartment every single day.
All the time.
Yeah, 100% of the time. I mean, a lot of times, like before this, he was living in Southern California. Like, we'd see each other like on weekends. Like, that's kind of how we've rolled for a long time. Where, like, he would work nights and I would work days. Like, it's very, all the time. But it's good.
Also, 20 years.
I know. Isn't that wild?
It almost, like, my first gut is like, we're not old enough to be.
I know.
Well, we kind of. For 20 years. And it's like,
we kind of aren't. We kind of aren't. And it's not this year. It'll be next year. We were looking at that. Because, I think that's definitely something that is celebration worthy, let's say.
Yeah, but, it is.
Well, I'd say so.
But, now it's basically like 25 years because of COVID. So,
there's that. Hey, we were supposed to go to Hawaii to celebrate our 10th anniversary this year. That's not going to happen. But that's okay.
Well, Hawaii's going to be there for a while.
It's going to be there for a while. We're going to be okay. I did buy the ugliest dress. Oh, I forgot to put my dress down. I did buy this super ugly island dress. It's okay. Remind me in a few minutes. I'll go get it. It's it's so bad, and I love it. And it's so ugly, but I love it. Anyway. Yeah. Guys, there's a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding the Denver International Airport.
Seriously?
Andy was not kidding.
What,
like,
kind of
I opened
theories?
Up three different tabs, and out of the three different tabs, there's only one conspiracy that I have found that's been the same on two tabs. So,
like, what? Give us.
I know. Okay. The runway shape. Apparently, it looks a lot like a swastika. At least taken from the air, but it could just be brushed off as, like, you know, really poor planning. What else? The markings. The airport bears a series of strange markings on its floors that some people believe symbolize a new strain of hepatitis that could be used in biological warfare. In reality, most of the symbols are taken from the Navajo language or pulled from the periodic table of elements. Another one is the dedication marker. There's a weird marker that's hard to ignore. It's a dedication marker and capstone placed over a time capsule, which supposedly includes a credit card, Colorado flag, and DIA opening day newspapers, amongst other things. It's set to be open in 2094. The symbols on the marker are associated with the Freemasons, a charitable organization that is often subject to their own conspiracy theories. The marker also mentions the New World Airport Commission, an organization that doesn't actually exist, or does it? It doesn't exist, but appears to take credit for building the entire airport, which is the conspiracy that appears on this other tab that I opened, was that it was built by the New World Order because of that, which I feel like this is something that I'm going to have to like delve into. Because there's a lot of conspiracy.
Well, like, maybe tomorrow, though, because you need to get to bed.
Yeah, not tonight. But okay, like, good. Yeah, apparently, like, there's tunnels and an underground bunker. There was a failed automated baggage system that tram. It looks like this whole thing. There's horse statues and weird murals. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, apparently there's a lot of stuff going around DEI, or DIA, rather, Denver International Airport.
Wow.
Cool. Thanks, Andy. All right. On that note, though, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Andy, for that email. Thank you all for listening. We're going to be doing our live show for the patrons next week. I think we are going to be starting it a little bit later than usual for Shandy's pre-birthday show and Shandy's last show at 36. And, right? 36? Sometimes it's hard to remember.
That's right.
Okay.
He's counting.
Me. I am. Or apparently I can count. So we'll do that on the 23rd, 9:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Pacific time. We hope that you will join us. Thank you to the patrons, especially the patrons that contribute a certain level, and that would be Pack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to become a patron, you go to patreon.com/jnjack or go to jnjack.com and click on the become a patron link at the top right hand corner of the page. If you have any feedback to contribute, whether it's Denver Airport conspiracy theories, you know I'm going to love that. Or really weird old time words for sexy fuck times. Or anything else, we would love to hear your feedback. The broadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. One of these days, I swear we're going to do that champagne brunch. We're going to make it happen at some point. I promise. But yeah. In the meantime, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Give us your Britney feedback. And yeah. Does anybody else have anything?
No, ma'am.
Nope.
All right. Well, then on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.